at this time in Vrindavan, just as night is settling, and actually it's before this time when Krishna's coming home with the cowherd boys, and it's such a festival. It is such a festival because Krishna comes. But this isn't what I'm going to speak about, but I couldn't resist it this time, because Krishna, who's got Kamala Patraksha, his eyes are just like the petals of a lotus flower, and he comes, that person who it's pious and glorious just to speak about him and just to hear about him. Punya Shravana Kirtanam. He comes with the cowherd boys, and they're all singing his glories, because that's completely natural, not only for the cowherd boys, but for every soul, every living entity. It is completely natural that we sing the glories of Krishna. And if we do that and become situated in our natural consciousness of glorifying Krishna, we become surcharged with spiritual energy. Yes, Krishna becomes glorified, but it is we who truly benefit, because Krishna is already glorious. And he has countless billions of living entities always glorifying him. So what is one insignificant person going to say about Krishna that's already not known? But yet, when we join into the great kirtan of Krishna's glories, we become connected to Krishna's internal energy, and we experience great happiness. So Krishna, the cowherd boys, Sagrajo, that means along with Agraja, Balaram, along with Balaram, Brajam Abrajam, they went into the town of Braja. And all the residents of Braja at this time, they were just waiting. All day long they had been waiting to see Krishna. Why? Because he had captured the hearts of every resident of Vrindavan. It was spontaneous and swabhavika. What does swabhavika mean? Natural. Completely natural. And that's what it's like for the residents of Vrindavan. It's completely natural that they love Krishna and cannot stop thinking about him. For me, for us, perhaps we have to remind ourselves. Perhaps we even have to force ourselves to think about Krishna, to chant his glories. But the residents of Vrindavan, at every moment, naturally, spontaneously, and in a special mood as well, they simply think about Krishna, remember Krishna, and think of his welfare and how to please him and how to serve him. And no matter what anyone is doing in Vrindavan, whether the ladies are looking in the mirror and combing, it's funny that I'm doing this, it doesn't make a difference what it appears like they are doing and who it appears like they are placing in the center. It is only Krishna. This is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada did also, however many times he called a person a rascal, there was one morning walk I listened to in Vrindavan, And Prabhupada was enjoying himself so much, 21 times in 10 minutes. And he said, rascal, this one's a rascal, and that one's a rascal. And the amazing thing, that actually it's true. And we laugh at all the rascals out there. But how about the rascal inside? He's the one that is most dangerous to us. But in any case, as I said, this isn't what I wish to speak about this evening. But I couldn't resist it at this time, because Krishna's coming home every single day in a different way, in a new way, in a special way. It's a continuous festival for the residents of Vrindavan. It's a festival for the cowherd boys who are singing his glories. And it's a festival for Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. Everyone comes running out to meet Krishna. And even the Braja gopis, who are not allowed to look at Krishna. There's two words used to describe the Braja gopis that I was just thinking of. Didrikshito drisho. When they came out, adya gamam samita. They came out in a whole group. And naturally, their parents, their mothers-in-laws, their husbands. They tried to stop them. And the gopis said, everyone else is going to see Krishna. Why can't we go and see Krishna? And they pushed their way through, saying, are you trying to kill us by stopping us? Because Krishna was everything for them. And they hadn't seen him for the whole day. The cowherd boys were happy. The cows were happy. The bulls were happy. And the calves were happy. Because those calves that Krishna was taking care of when they were young, when it became time for him to go out with the cowherd boys, with the cows, do you think they would stay behind? No. They wanted to be with Krishna. Sometimes when Krishna was with the calves, Srila Jiva Goswami says he would just pet them behind the ears. He would pet them and stroke them. And sometimes, because they were just young calves, he would hold them by the neck, by the like this, and say, do you want to go to see your mother? Don't worry. I'll bring you to your mother right now. He would just charm everyone with his sweet words. But Krishna had entered what city? Mathura. And the residents of Mathura, actually, when Krishna was leaving, the gopis were lamenting, our time of happiness is over. Our festival for our eyes, akshanvantam phalamidam, the purpose of the eyes is to see Krishna. Our festival is over. But now, those fortunate ladies of Mathura, their festival will begin. Because the next day, they will look out and they will see that face of Krishna that is all attractive. So Krishna walked into the city with his cowherd boyfriends. He left Akura behind. He left Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men behind. And the boys just wanted to have a good time. And the good time, the great fortune of the ladies of Mathura had indeed come. And immediately they heard that Krishna had come. Everyone had heard about Krishna. They had heard about his activities. They had heard that he was taking out the cows every day. They had heard he had killed one demon after the next. Palambasura, even though Balaram had killed him. They had heard that he had, Balaram had, and Krishna had taken Danukasura and threw him into the trees. They had heard about Krishna killing even Putana. And now, that person that they had heard about was going to be seen by them. And they had actually fallen in love with him. And there's one verse that Sukadeva Goswami says that upon seeing Krishna, who they had heard about, and they had fallen in love with just by hearing about him, Krishna entered their hearts through their eyes. And Krishna, that person who is capable of everything, embraced them. And then the unhappiness that they had been experiencing, the separation, the transcendental separation, the ecstatic separation they had been experiencing from Krishna had ended. They had run to the rooftops. They were so eager. Tatra loyam api mulam ekalam. They had such eagerness to see Krishna that whom they had been hearing about for so long, that when they heard that Krishna was walking through the streets, they did not dress themselves properly at all. They wore one earring, one bracelet. It even describes how some of them were feeding their babies. And there is no imitation of this, please. They took their babies and just put them aside and ran to the rooftop to see Krishna. And then on the roofs they showered flower petals upon Krishna. And Krishna glanced at them with his eyes and he smiled at them. And then he kept walking. They had been hearing about Krishna for so long. They finally had seen Krishna. And he glanced at them. And he had smiled at them. And then he kept walking. The Brahmins came. And this was all in Kamsa's city. And previously, no one had the strength to go to Vrindavan. Sometimes we may think that Vrindavan and Mathura, how many kilometers is it away? 10, 12? Why didn't the residents of Mathura go and see Krishna? But they were afraid of Kamsa. And later, we shall hear of one person who did actually go to see Krishna every day, despite Kamsa. And his name was Sudama. And he was a Mali, a florist. But later we shall hear about him. So in Kamsa's own city, Krishna was walking through the streets of the city like an elephant who walks very, very slowly in a very deliberate, graceful way, completely fearless. He walked through the city and the Brahmins came out. The Brahmins worshipped Krishna with different articles and pan and betel nuts and flower garlands and holy water. They worship Krishna. Now remember, Krishna was going to Mathura from Vrindavan, and Vrindavan is just a village, a simple cowherd village, and Mathura was the big city. And Krishna and Balaram wanted to wander and see the sights of the big city along with the cowherd boys. And then suddenly they saw a rajak. What is a rajak? Does anyone know? Well, you know who they saw, even if you don't know the Sanskrit. A washerman, dobi, the washerman, with his donkeys. And also he had his assistants, who had their donkeys. And this washerman was very, very proud. Actually, he was very wicked. And he was King Kamsa's personal washerman. And he was carrying fancy embroidered cloth. And this cloth, golden embroidered, very fancy, it was meant for Kamsa to distribute to all his relatives in the Dhanojagya, the bow sacrifice, which was to be held the next day. Superficially, that's what it was. But actually, Yogamaya, and it describes that the cloth that they had was Kamsa's cloth. But actually, Krishna would not wear Kamsa's cloth, Kamsa's remnants, no matter how fancy they were. Yogamaya had placed his brand new, fancy, wonderful, decorated, opulent cloth in the hands of this washerman for Krishna to take from his hand and use for himself. This washerman was very evil, and because he was serving Kamsa, who is supremely evil, that association made him even worse. And he was proud of Kamsa, him being Kamsa's servant. So Krishna, in a very, very polite way, he went over to the washerman and he said, "My dear washerman, we want to beg some charity from you. Please give us this nice cloth. And if you give us this nice cloth, you will be benefited eternally." And he spoke in very sweet and polite words. But the washerman was very proud. And he didn't respond in sweet, kind words. But immediately he became angry. He said, "You boys who are used to wandering continuously amongst the mountains and the forests, village boys, you village boys want to wear the clothes of the king? This is very bad. Who do you think you are?" And then he said something, and he used a word that he shouldn't use. He said, "Balisha. You fools." And Krishna was with Balaram, and he used the plural. "You fools, you are asking for that which is meant for the king. If you are not careful, the king's men will come and tie you up, and they will steal everything from you. They may beat you, they will kill you. Now get out of here. I'll forgive you this time. You fools." In the plural. And Krishna was with Balaram. Actually, from the very beginning, Krishna wanted to kill him. And when he said, "You fools, you and Balaram are fools," that was all the reason that Krishna needed. Because he wanted to do two things. He had said to this washerman that, "I will give you everything if you just give me this in charity. You'll have everything. You'll be blessed." And he wanted to show, and Sudama will say this later on too, that Krishna is neutral to everyone. But yet, name dvesho stina priya. But yet he reciprocates with us. Yeye tamam prapadyam te. According to how we call out to Krishna, according to how we serve Krishna, according to the mood in which we come to Krishna and make our offerings, Krishna reciprocates. And this washerman, this Rajak washerman and the dyer of clothes, was very wicked, and he responded to Krishna's request with very harsh words, and Krishna became angry. And just with the tips of his fingers, he cut off his head. Krishna was sending a message to Kamsa. "I am here. The one you feared has come. The one who had been predicted, the eighth child, Astamagarbha of Devaki, who is predicted to kill you, has now come to your city. You have called him here. You have put Devaki and Vasudeva in prison, trying to lure him here. And now I have come." Krishna will send more messages too. Then Krishna took whatever clothes, these fancy, because after all, he was dressed in just, he's a village boy in Vrindavan, dressed just with wonderful flower garlands, wonderful cloth, but not fancy things. So he put on this fancy clothing just as he wanted, and Balaram put on whatever fancy clothing he wanted, and the cowherd boys put on whatever fancy clothing they wanted, and all the rest was just left in the street, because the washerman's friends with all their donkeys had run away. So Krishna now, because this is one thing about Krishna that we have to understand. He's a very fancy dresser. He really likes to dress like a dancing actor upon the stage, just to attract everyone's attention, so everyone will look at him. And when anyone looks at Krishna, they become completely captivated. And Krishna loves to dress. The English word flamboyant. Is there a Hindi translation for that word? Or a Russian translation for flamboyant? I don't hear one coming. But very extraordinarily attractive. So Krishna dressed wonderfully for the great wrestling match already. He went still further. And the next person he met was a weaver. A weaver. The Sanskrit describes him actually as being a weaver of bamboo. That he would take bamboo and make it, crush it into very fine fibers, and he would make ornaments out of that, jewelry out of that. So when he saw Krishna and Balaram and the boys had come, he immediately, being a devotee, he immediately went into his house and he brought out the finest jewels that he had in his house, because this was the chance of one lifetime of many lifetimes. He had the chance of making an offering to Krishna. And out of this soft bamboo cloth, he made ornaments, armbands and wristbands and leg bands that were very, very, very soft and filled and covered with jewels. And Krishna was so pleased with him. Important they were soft, because the next day, after the sun rose the next day, Krishna was going to be in a wrestling match. With who? With who? With who? Yeah. I couldn't understand, but I'm sure it was correct. Who wrestled with Chanura? And who wrestled with Mastika? Balaram. So when wrestling, there's going to be pushing of the arms and pushing like this in the chest. And Krishna wanted to wear very, very soft ornaments because his skin was so tender. I remember at perhaps our first or second Govardhan retreat, our Satchinandana Maharaj was talking about the softness, and this, it comes from Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but I had never heard it before, that Krishna's skin is so soft that when a leaf drops from a tree onto his skin, it is so soft and tender that it becomes reddish, so delicate. And he was going to wrestle with these mountain-like Mastika, Chanura, Sala, Tosala, Kuta, these, I must translate into Russian in a funny way. He was going to wrestle with them, and his tender, tender skin might become bruised because it is so delicate. So these was so much appreciated by Krishna. And Krishna then did something wonderful. To benedict him in exchange, Krishna gave him Sarup Mukti. He gave him a form of a cowherd boy. And some of our acharyas say, Srila Jiva Goswami, I believe, he did this right there in front of everyone who was watching. They saw him transform his form into an eternally blissful form of a cowherd boy, right there. And he also gave him opulence. And in this world, he would enjoy. He had physical strength. He had influence. He had memory and sensual vigor. This was Krishna's reciprocation with him. And then Krishna walked further. So now he had fancy clothes, and now he had wonderful soft jeweled ornaments, but there were still some other decorations that he wanted. So as he walked further into the section of Mathura, he thought, there is someone that I know who lives here in this area, because Krishna knows where everyone lives, all the devotees, and anytime he wants, he can visit. And so interesting that when Akura, his own relative, a great devotee member of the Jaru dynasty, said, please come to my house, please come to my house, please come to my house. He said, later I'll come to your house. But Krishna on his own decided to go to the house of this florist whose name was Sudama. So he walked in, and only Sudama was there. And his house was so small that Sudama didn't fall to the ground. He just touched his head to the ground. There was no room. Now this Sudama was a very, very special devotee. Because while everyone else was afraid of Kamsa and no one would visit Vrindavan, Sudama would go to Vrindavan because Vrindavan has the most fragrant, sweetest, rare, and special flowers. And this is what he did. He collected the flowers from Vrindavan and he would string them into the most wonderful flower garlands. And as he used to wander through the forests of Vrindavan, sometimes he would hear the sound of the cows. Cows. Mmm-ma. Mmm-ma. And he would see Krishna and Balaram herding the cows. And Krishna sometimes would be playing his flute. The cowherd boys and Krishna would be dancing. And Krishna had his... He would never hit the cows with the stick. If you know how to be a good cowherd boy, or look, the little girls you see in Vrindavan, not that little, but this little, sometimes you see them with the cows and the big buffaloes that are like 10 times as tall as them, and they move them and control them, and you just take the stick and move it behind the cow's back, behind his head, and they understand and they move forward. So Sudama would see Krishna every day in the forest of Vrindavan, herding the cows. And he would go to where Krishna was. And gradually he made friendship with Krishna. And because his name was Sudama, and because Krishna had a friend named Sudama, just naturally they became very affectionate to each other. So we have names of dear devotees of Krishna and Krishna's names. So it just naturally makes Krishna inclined. And then when he would make his beautiful flower garlands, he would give them to Krishna. So when Krishna walked into his house, when Krishna walked into his house of Sudama and Sudama bowed down, Sudama glorified Krishna with very nice philosophy, saying, you are the Supreme Lord, you are the cause of everything, and you are equal to everyone, and you are just reciprocating with everyone according to how they approach you. If you act like the washerman, if you act like the weaver, and then Krishna, just out of the corner of his eye, he just hinted by looking at some wonderful flower garlands that Sudama had made for Krishna. Just looked at them. And Sudama immediately understood this was the chance he had been waiting for. So he took two wonderful flower garlands, with one a little more wonderful than the other, and he gave the most wonderful flower garland to Krishna, and he gave the other one to Balaram, and he garlanded all the cowherd boys. He was a flower garland maker. So he gave Krishna who he was in that sense. This was his offering of himself. This is what he could do. This is what he did do. And this is what he gave to Krishna. And Krishna was so pleased with him. He said, Sudama, what do you want? He didn't ask the weaver, what do you want? He said to Sudama, whatever you want, I will give you. You choose. Just imagine if Krishna said that to you. Sudama replied in this way, Sopi Vavre, I will choose. There are three things. Achalam Bhakti. Achalam Bhakti means unflinching, devotional, serving, loving devotion for you. Tasmin Eva Adi. Adikilatmani, for you who is the cause of everything, I want bhakti to you that does not waver or move or turn away, but remains fixed on you. That was the first. Tad bhakteshu shasaso hardam. I want the association of your devotees. The second thing, unflinching love for you and association with devotees. And the third thing, bhuteshu cha dayam param. I want to be merciful, supremely merciful, affectionately merciful to every living entity. He wanted to give devotion to everyone. What nice desires. And Krishna was so pleased with him that he gave him that. And he also gave him beauty, strength, long life, fame, ever-increasing prosperity for his entire family. And then Krishna Balaram left and moved onward. Hare Krishna.